Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. It to him all day. All day. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. Always. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. Tune in. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Yeah, yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Now, here come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, Next Generation Baltimore Sports Talk. I am your endearingly sounding host, Matt Soroka. As always, I'm joined by a guy who looking awkward now because he deleted all his Twitter accounts thinking it was going away, the button lover, Josh Soroka.
What was that? I guess Twitter's not dead. I apologize for that.
Yeah.
Had to remember all those passwords again to get back in.
Hey, listen, people on Twitter, also, like, I'm not going to go follow you on Instagram. I'm sorry. That's not why I use Instagram.
Wait, if Jeff, is that what people were saying?
Josh, if Jeff Passan, you know Jeff Passan, if he doesn't even tweet anymore, he just tweets links to his Instagram. He's trying to move the whole thing over to Instagram. And I saw a lot of people sharing, like, but if Twitter goes down, here's my Instagram.
But Jeff, if you could function on Instagram without Twitter, then you wouldn't be sharing those Instagram links on Twitter.
I know he's trying to fix that, but yeah.
What's he going to do? Write in his notes app and take screenshots of whatever he wants to say?
Yeah, it's just a different platform. And that's why...
It's for pictures.
Yeah, and you know, and I feel like I don't even like talking about it. Like I didn't tell anyone that I think Twitter's not going to die, because even like, it just, we live in such a crazy world today where even saying Twitter's not going to die, like, it somehow points to my political viewpoint, and I do it too.
Okay, you're a Trump guy. I see.
When I clearly, anyone knows me, know I'm quite the opposite. But even but I do the same thing where if I see someone saying, you know, there was a lot of people saying goodbye on Twitter, in my head I was like, liberal. I was doing the same thing. I was like, stop that, Matt. Stop that. It doesn't mean anything. They're just saying goodbye on Twitter. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, but you're right. No, I didn't. Yeah, I went, you're crazy. You think one person can control it, screw up a whole thing.
Yeah, and even if Twitter goes down, okay, it might, if you run out, if you know, whatever, it might go down for a day. But Twitter just will no longer exist. Like, Twitter.com will forever go away. And Elon Musk has wasted
$100 million. That means? We're going to have to all go to, what's it, Parler? And what's the one Trump's on?
Truth Social.
Truth Social, yeah. So Twitter goes away. So what? Everyone goes to, like, the concept, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's like if saying like, YouTube goes away, so no one's going to put videos on the internet anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, Twitter, I use Twitter differently than I used to. Like, it's nice. Like, we got some friends on Twitter. Like, I get all that. It's nice to have an oral community on Twitter. But I don't need Twitter.
No, I use Twitter for news and for sports talk.
Yeah, I do it more for news now, and for sports news. Yeah, and some
promote
takes.
Birdland sports shirts that are 20% off this week for Thanksgiving.
There you go.
The entire site.
And if Twitter for some reason does go down, you can still follow us on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook.
Exactly, and that's the thing. Like, all right, Jeff, as a journalist, who cares? Don't fight. Like, stay in your lane. Who cares if Twitter goes away? Who cares who owns Twitter? Do your thing, and it's got no influence. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. And listen, I like Jeff's stuff too. And if like Twitter didn't exist anymore, I would find another platform and follow Jeff. Sure. Like, I would.
Yeah. And instead, Twitter, he should say, "Hey guys, I'm doing some cool stuff over on TikTok. Come, like, I'm glad you follow me on Twitter, but hey, check out where I'm doing something different on TikTok."
Yeah.
Not here's screenshots that I were going to tweet, but Elon Musk owns that. So now I'm going to put them on Instagram.
But it was to the point.
Mark Zuckerberg's a good Republican, a good Democrat.
And I don't know if he's still doing this, but it was to the point where like he was doing this for at least a week, he would tweet.
Last time we got into political talk, we got in trouble.
He would tweet the link to the point where it would be like a teaser. Like, you can't find out the news unless I click on the link. So you would just look at the first comment, and the first person would obviously say, hey, you don't need to bother clicking the link. Here's what he says. Here's the breaking news or whatever. It's just funny. But no, I'm sorry. It's my fault for opening up with that. It's just Twitter's been such a weird place lately.
I saw on Twitter that there's talk of bringing masks back, and there's nothing we like on 336 as mask talk.
Yeah, we've had enough of that mask talk.
All right, let's see. I'm looking at Jeff Passan. It looks like he is back on Twitter.
Okay, but do you see the ones where he linked to the Instagram? Or maybe that's too far ago.
I don't see any.
I mean, that I was just for his Instagram articles, I think, in breaking news.
Sorry, I think it was CBS or ABC News that said, we're done with Twitter, we're reevaluating, and then the next day they were back.
Yeah, what? So it's
funny to see people jump.
Well, and no platform is about issues. You know, I'm...
We have the same thing in Birdland. It's the same type of thing as the people who say, oh, the Orioles did not sign Carlos Correa. That's it. I'm done. Lifetime Oriole fan. I'm done with the Orioles.
Yeah.
It's the same exact thing.
Yeah. Or didn't pursue Shohei Ohtani, like Dave Zimanowski said. Yeah. All right. Well, we got some Orioles talk to get to.
Really?
No, not really.
There's some that exist. It's Thanksgiving week.
No, not really. Yeah. And this,
we can be thankful for the fun year.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what happens first. Twitter goes under or the Orioles sign somebody, but it could be a while for both because kind of no action happening right now.
Winter meetings are next week, 2 weeks, right? December 4th.
Yeah.
So we're coming up on that.
Yeah. So I think things will start to pick up. At least rumors will start to pick up then.
Aaron Judge is in San Francisco now, right?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I saw a picture of him in San Francisco. So, that'll be a good fit. I think it's a good fit, as far away from us as possible. I like that.
When do we get to see like pictures of people in Baltimore? Like I've never seen like, we've never been the hot ticket item where it's like, oh, Aaron Judge is coming to Baltimore. Let's scope out at BWI. We haven't had that for anyone. Is there a chance we get that this year? Or do we just not roll out the red carpet for guys?
Yeah, I mean, Mike Elias seems to be the kind of guy who like flies someone in the dead of night,
right,
and not publicize it. So,
like, I we've seen it for like Ravens, where we've seen Ravens rumors about Ravens and different guys being in, or when Ray Lewis went to Dallas to get wooed by them and stuff. We've seen it in football. We haven't seen it like, at least with Baltimore baseball.
Yeah. No. It's true, and. Yeah, I don't know if we ever will.
No.
So, and even now, I'm skeptical. I don't know. Again, we've talked about this before. I don't know who we're. Are we really trying to woo Carlos Correa? I don't know. Or are we going to woo, Gene Segura instead? Like, are we wooing the top guy, or are we wooing the guy kind of next in line?
Right. And you got to, Mike Elias has to let us know, because if we're not going after Carlos Correa, that's fine. But I just need to understand that so I can start to push the narrative of why I don't want Carlos Correa.
Yeah, and I feel like, and he was taking a lot of heat, but there was a Utah Street Report article today about how the Orioles should not sign the top guys, but should trade for the top pitching arms and kind of go to the next level, which felt like a Mike Elias burner account if Mike Elias felt like he couldn't sign the top guys. Like, this is, the argument was starting to be made. Well, probably it's a good thing that we don't sign the best players available. And here's why.
No one has made moves this offseason yet. Like, there's been no one taken off the board. Yeah. But because Mike Elias has not signed people yet, you're seeing that definitely online, where people are starting to say, hey, maybe the Orioles don't want the top people.
Yeah.
Maybe we just want the middle people. In fact, I want the middle people.
Yeah. And what I hate too is there's this false dichotomy where people are like, well, I don't want to sign a player for a $300 million contract. And somewhere in that thought process, they're going to mention Chris Davis's name as well.
Chris Davis.
But like, maybe it's possible that some Twins.
Sometimes those contracts work out.
Well, I mean, just look at, Bryce Harper with the Phillies. You look at, Max Scherzer with the Nats when he was there. those are deals that won World Series for those two. Well, got to the World Series and won a World Series in the Nats case. But also, like, you don't have to do 10 years through $300 million. I mean, just last year, the Twins did a one-year deal with Carlos Correa with an opt-out. Like, you can do a two- or three-year. Now, will he have to pay more money to do a two- or three-year deal? Yes, you have to pay more money. Do the Orioles have extra money to spend this offseason?
Yeah,
they do. So it doesn't have to be a 10-year deal. You can pay more up front and do a, you know, a 3 or 4 or 5 year deal with some player opt-outs that could work for the Orioles and make sense too. And actually, I think the shorter contracts, like a lot of people arguing, make sense because you have so much in the farm system.
Yeah, but I don't want Correa because we've got Gunnar Henderson and we've got
Holiday. We've got Holiday will be there in 3 years.
Holiday's going to be here.
In 3 years he'll be there. So why would we sign Carlos Correa?
Westberg, we don't want these. Ortiz, we don't want Correa. Yeah, this makes no sense. Mateo had an outstanding year. We can't bring Correa.
Yeah,
I don't want Correa.
Yeah, I don't want to also shortstop my team.
Just getting out there. Yeah. Just want to make sure we have the right stuff out there to go back whenever the Orioles make an announcement. Either way, that we can say, hey, yeah, that's what we said.
Yeah,
that's what we want.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, we will see. We'll see how this goes. But I don't expect any action. Yeah, this week, though, Mike Elias says he's busy on the phone. I don't expect any action this week. But hopefully, winter meeting something. I mean, I feel like across baseball, this has been a slow off season, and you can't blame it on the negotiations. The MLB negotiations. You can't blame it on that. Like, this is just a slow moving off season so far.
Yeah. I believe it was The Athletic today that said that a dark horse for DeGrom would be the Orioles.
Yeah. What does that mean? Dark horse. I don't know what that means.
I don't know. I think it means like, hey, the Orioles could use, it's like, I think it's every reporter being like, you know what? No one's mentioned the Orioles with DeGrom. I'll mention the Orioles with DeGrom. So again, whenever this stuff happens, people can say I was right.
Huh. And Mike Elias said he was trying to sign a top of the rotation arm. So good on you for thinking that maybe DeGrom is a top of the rotation arm. Like, Mike Elias is not, I don't think he's trying to be a dark horse. He's telling everyone in baseball, we want to sign a top of the rotation arm. And whether that's DeGrom or Rondon or someone else, or, he's going to try to sign a top of the rotation arm. And I guess it's a dark horse because the Orioles haven't signed anybody for the past few years, haven't signed anyone with Mike Elias at the helm of significance. So I guess that makes you a dark horse. I'm just rooting for no. You remember a few years ago the Dexter Fowler situation where Dexter Fowler signed with the Orioles, reported it.
And then
2 days later, he was seen in Chicago and signed with the Cubs.
I don't know if we ever got the true story about that.
Yeah, I don't know if we did. That sounds like San Dingman. Can you do another podcast about that? About Dexter Fowler signing with the Orioles, but ending up on the Cubs. How that worked?
So again, no real news because we still are just in a waiting game.
Yeah. So
and we'll wait and see.
Yeah, I went to the Google machine and I typed in Orioles news like I always do before the podcast, as just to make sure I didn't miss any recent stuff. And the first or the second result was from MLB.com. And the title is, in wake of Hurricane Ian, O's minor leaguer gives back in Florida. And a really nice article on MLB.com about Kyle Brownovich and his support in working in Sarasota, helping people, victims of Hurricane Ian. So a really nice story about Kyle Brownovich, who's not a big name guy. He's not making millions of dollars, some minor league guy, giving back to the community that he grew up in. So that's cool to see.
That's cool. That's real cool.
And I'll just throw this out there too. It talks about him giving out turkeys now with Thanksgiving and food bank drive, and also mentions, they had this big event in Sarasota at the Orioles complex. And there were another minor leaguer player was there to help, Jacob Teeter, who I first met at an Aberdeen Ironbirds game. And he stuck out to me because he was the only guy who stayed the entire time to sign every fan's autograph until the last fan was there. And I chatted with him a little bit about that. So Jacob Teeter seems like a swell dude. And former major leaguer Brian Roberts was also there helping out. So good for those guys.
All right. I didn't know Brian Roberts was a Florida boy. Is he working for the Orioles down in Sarasota?
It says he's listed in the article as community ambassador and former big leaguer. I don't know what a community
is. Is that like Sarasota's version of the, when they drag out Joe Orsolak to Camden Yards?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's what it is. I hope Brian Roberts makes more than Joe Orsolak does, but I don't know. But yeah, he's listed as community. What did I say? A community.
Community organizer.
Ambassador. Yeah, ambassador. All right. So that's a good story about Kyle Brownovich. So I'm all of a sudden now more of a fan of him. Other things that popped up in my search results, Josh, you'll like this. This is from 4 minutes ago.
All right. 4 minutes ago, Orioles news. You got breaking news? I need a little breaking news button over here.
This is from FanSided, right, who we have a partnership with.
FanSided.
Yeah.
Yep.
FanSided.
Birds Watcher.
Yeah. So.
Right. Birds Watcher is the local affiliate.
Yep. Yep. So on Birds Watcher, there's this article by Ben Schneider saying Orioles fan trade proposal backing up truck for Ohtani, and they list a couple.
That's my role.
I know. A couple of trade proposals for Ohtani. Now,
who wrote this? Why didn't you call me?
Yeah, we should get. You should get Ben Schneider on the call here. You guys can have your own little separate love fest over Ohtani and trade proposal talk. So there's two trade proposals here.
Ben,
yeah,
let's get you on the podcast next week, Ben. All right. You and I are going to talk next week, Ohtani.
Okay. And then after that, I never want to mention the name of Ohtani again.
Ben, if you would have posted this 10 minutes ago, we could have had you on tonight.
Yeah. Well, he posted an article about the trade proposal a month ago, but the possible trade proposal. And then now, I guess, content or whatever. He's just, there's some kind of fan feedback he's posting here.
Content. Is that kind of like me texting you this afternoon? Hey, what are we going to talk about tonight?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I got some notes here depending how off track and deep we get here, I got some notes here. We can go way off the rabbit trail if you want. But his trade proposal was DL Hall, Joey Ortiz, Jordan Westberg, and Max Wagner. This guy wants to go kind of all in. The article's about Ohtani. Josh, tell me if you would do this move. Orioles get Ohtani. The Angels get Jackson Holliday, Colton Cowser, DL Hall, Roman Urias, Kobe Mayo, Kyle Bradish. Are you pulling the string?
Holiday's a tough one. Holiday is a tough one in that mix. But there's going to have, to get a guy like Ohtani, something's got to sting. So yeah, I'm all in.
All right. See, I want
the guy now instead of the future.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. We've seen so many guys that we get excited for, and then they come up to the majors and aren't anything. And I know everyone says Holiday's got it all, but we've seen that before.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what you get with Ohtani. It's true. It's true. I mean, the one that hurts for me too with trading DL Hall, I just think he has such great potential. I hate to do that too, but yeah, I mean, it's a pipe dream, but it's fun to throw out those scenarios. Other things on Orioles news recently, Josh, JJ Hardy is on the Hall of Fame ballot.
Yeah. He's not going to make it, but it's still cool to see him on
there. Hater.
That.
Okay. If I had a vote, I mean, I would vote him in.
Yeah, of course you would, because you're an Orioles fan. And I think he's had an awesome baseball career. I don't think of him as a Hall of Famer. Do you really think of him as a Hall of Famer?
You don't think of
a
Hall of Famer because of his personality. Well, he was quieter, just kind of did his job. He wasn't a showboat about it, so all of a sudden he's not a Hall of Famer.
I mean, name some Hall of Fame shortstops.
Okay. You want to go Derek Jeter?
Derek Jeter, Cal Ripken Jr.,
Ozzie Smith.
There's others. I mean, let's see.
I mean,
Hall of Fame.
I guess there's a couple of different ways.
Do you put JJ Hardy in that mix?
Do I put him in the list with Barry Larkin and Cal Ripken and Ozzie Smith? Josh, obviously no. But he's an Orioles Hall of Famer, isn't he?
He's definitely an Orioles Hall of Famer. Right. And there's, I don't know.
It's nice to be on the ballot. I would be honored just to be on the ballot. I would feel good about that.
Yeah, and I think JJ Hardy would be too.
Yeah.
Just to be thought of.
Yeah.
That he's been out of baseball for what, 5-6 years, and he wasn't forgotten.
Yeah, no, and he had a nice career, right? He is the definition, I feel like, of it's the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Very Good, because he was a very good player for a long time. Was with the Orioles for what, 6-7 years? He put up not huge offensive numbers, right? But he was always steady defensively. Had a couple of years in the 20s, but you know, not a big offensive production guy, but great defensively.
Yeah.
Old reliable.
I have nothing bad to say about JJ Hardy.
You just said he's not a Hall of Famer. I feel like that's kind of a...
But he's not a Hall of Famer. That's not a bad thing.
Well, I feel like it's if you were a Hall of Famer, that would be better than a not Hall of Famer. So I feel like you're kind of knocking him.
But saying, if I go and say, Matt, you're not a Hall of Famer, that's not saying something bad about you.
No,
you're really, really good. You're not the best to play the game. But I'm also in the school of we let too many people in the Hall of Fame. And at the same time, there's people that should be in the Hall of Fame that we have not let in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, so there's too many, but not enough. Okay.
Do you think the Veterans Committee is going to let some steroid guys in? Because I think it's time.
You think it's time? I'll still stick with what I've always said. I don't care.
Okay. Do you care? Well, speaking of guys blocked from the Hall of Fame, and I'll transition that to news in Baltimore this week is sports gambling became legal. What, yesterday? Today?
I think it was. I thought it was earlier this week, but maybe it was today.
Yeah, I don't know. It was this week, I thought. But
yeah.
Does that excite you? Like, if you were still living in Maryland, is that something you'd be excited about?
No, it's not. It's not. I hate gambling. It's just nothing to lose my money. No.
Oh, it's November and you already lost all your football money.
Yeah, I was counting on. I had all my money in a Adley Rutschman Rookie of the Year thing, and he got second. You get Bupkis for second. So I lost all my money on that. And so no, I mean gambling,
okay,
does not make anybody money. I don't know if you guys realize this, but even if you think you're winning, it's just a matter of time before you lose it. So
the house always wins.
The house always wins. Yeah. So no, this is bad news for everybody. Even for those people who think it's good news, it's just making you a little more broke. So no, it's terrible news. I'm sorry for everyone in Maryland. Thankfully, I'm in Georgia where it's still illegal. So
no, you got to treat gambling like I treat it. It's just an expensive hobby. It's not. I don't play gambling to win. It's just a hobby.
Yeah.
It's just like putting down $5 to watch an on-demand movie. It's a waste of money.
That's not the same thing at all, because you're going to watch the game either way. It's not like that gives you access to the game. A better metaphor is take it to the toilet and hit the flush button.
A better metaphor would be
getting flushed down.
No, it's like watching the football game and ordering DoorDash. It's like, yeah, I could just watch the game, but now I'm going to watch it with this delicious meal.
Okay. Well,
that I'm going to enjoy, and it's going to make the game more exciting. Now, when the game's over, I'm going to either fall asleep nice and relaxed because I had this wonderful meal, or the meal made me sick and I'm in the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, I guess then that's where.
But it made the game more exciting.
Yeah, and maybe it does for you. Like for me, when I win, there's no enjoyment. There's just kind of a little bit of relief that I didn't lose, and when I lose, it's very upsetting. So I feel like it's not enjoyable. The whole experience to me. It's not enjoyable at all. It just gives me anxiety. It doesn't even matter. Like we're not even talking about, I'm not betting $500, like $5 on a game. I have anxiety over the whole evening, and I can't sleep if I lose, and I'm just relieved, not even happy if I win. But the whole time I'm knowing it's just till next week when I do, in fact, lose it all.
Yeah, and you're right. You are right about the when I win. When I win, it's not like, hey, let's go out and celebrate I won. It's, no, I got money. I can now bet next week.
Yeah, it's just a matter of I won $4 that I will lose next week.
I now got right. I doubled my money in my account. I can now stress over the same stuff at the 4 o'clock game that I stressed out in the 1 o'clock game.
There was a window of 6 months where I thought gambling was cool. I'm done with it. I hate it.
When you were doing
ban it all.
I think if you bet $100 on every single Oriole game, you ended up winning a few thousand by the end of the year.
Yeah.
So once in a while, it works out.
Well, I mean, I made a good bit of money betting the over with the Orioles and the win total. But again, it's just I just lose it all with the Ravens. So what's the point?
the Ravens and their 7 points.
Yeah. Well, the Ravens are easy, a little bit easier to bet. Like, I would never bet yesterday's game because every game is, I don't know, what was the total? Actually, what was it? It was a 10-point game, I think, right?
Yeah.
But they were 13-point favorites. But, like, I never bet with the Ravens because they always make
and plus. I never bet the plus minus. I never bet the spread.
Oh, you don't bet the spread? You just bet winners?
No. For the Ravens, I just bet winners.
Yeah.
Because it's ridiculous, because the spread will be 3 and the Ravens will win by 2.
Yeah. Yeah, they're always.
All the time. They're always doing that crap.
Yeah. Couple other Oriole news here. They, I don't know, what's the list of players here? non-tenders, they were offered, all of the available arbitration guys were offered contracts. So this includes, I'm just trying to remember them. Help me out here. There was 6. There was Voth. There was Santander. There was Mullins. All the guys. I'm missing someone. There was, I think, Tate's on that list. I guess John Means is on that list. So anyway, all the non-tender guys, as expected, were offered contracts. Right. Or were tendered contracts, all the arbitration eligible players. So no one was released. And I think that's expected. They talk that maybe Austin Voth, because he's set to make $2 million. Can you make $2 million as a long reliever if the Orioles move him to the bullpen next year? But I think unsurprisingly, everyone was tendered a contract.
Yeah. No surprise. I mean,
now no one was signed, and we'll see if someone signs. I forget. I don't know when the arbitration hearings are. I think they're in, I don't know when they are, December, January. So they have till then to work out a deal, or they go to the whole arbitration hearing process.
Right, right. So, but, and that's where, that, yeah, John Means' arbitration is going to be weird because he didn't really pitch much, but we all know he's going to be outstanding.
Yeah, and like, I think most of those players are coming off pretty good years.
Pretty good years. Yeah, everyone. Yeah.
I mean, Mullins a little bit down, but still, pretty good years. Oh, and the one guy I forgot to mention is Austin Hayes and Jorge Mateo. Those two. And so, yeah, I think they'll all get pretty nice raises. And that's going to be, I mean, people talk about our salary increase, and hey, listen, I mean, both going from less than $1 million to $2 million. I think Santander is set to make somewhere in the over $7 million this year. I think Mullins is set to make something like $4 million. So a lot of the increase in salary is inevitable with the arbitration stuff and just making more money.
Right.
Though I just point out here too, I think the surprising thing is there's no surprising stuff here that we offered them all contracts. What may be surprising is going into last year, if you would say that Mateo would be offered another contract, I might be surprised. Austin Voth, he was literally cut by the Nationals.
Right.
And here we are willing to pay him $2 million to keep him. I mean, that says something. I think that's surprising. But after the season he's had, it's not surprising that we would offer all these guys. And there's just 6, which is not a lot. There's 6 guys, which means 6 guys will be getting huge pay raises, which means everybody else will still be making nothing. We'll just have to get big pay raises to these 6 players.
Okay. No problem, because big pay raises to these 6 players is not big pay raises in baseball.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Right. No one's even making, we're not even talking $10 million. Like, all these guys are under $10 million.
Yes. Yep, exactly.
So, yeah, payroll rise. Don't worry, Angelos. Don't worry, John. Yep. John Angelos. Payroll, you'll still be at the bottom of the league in payroll.
Did you see that that Baseball America today updated their prospect list?
Yes, I was going to get to that.
So. Oh, okay. All right. I didn't show your show notes, and I just pulled up the Orioles top 10. So that's what.
Oh, I don't have their top 10. I was actually more interested in, because they also published two interesting pieces of information. I saw floating around the Twitterverse, the projected 2026 lineup for the Orioles.
I've got that in front of me.
And then kind of the best tools. And there were best tools that surprised me.
Me too. That's why I was hoping to quiz you with the best tools, but I guess we don't have it.
Yeah.
All right. So top 10. Number one, Gunnar Henderson.
Okay.
Pretty obvious. Number two, Grayson Rodriguez.
Yes.
Pretty obvious.
Yeah. Is it obvious that Grayson's number two to Gunnar? Is that an obvious, like everyone agrees on that?
You mean yeah, because Gunnar's already proved himself in the majors.
Did he? What, for a month?
2 months?
All right.
He played well at majors? Yeah.
All right.
Number three surprised me, Jackson Holliday.
Yeah.
Like, he surprised me to see him kind of debut up there so high.
Talk about who's done nothing so far. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Colton Cowser, number four.
Yeah.
Number five, DL Hall, Jordan Westberg, Connor Norby, Joey Ortiz, Kyle Stowers, and Kobe Mayo wraps up your 10.
Okay.
All guys that were expected to actually do things. So it's exciting.
Yeah. A lot of position players.
And all guys that you see in that 2026 projected lineup.
Oh, is that true? Yeah. Oh, I guess it is true.
Yeah, you got that lineup in front of you?
I do. This is not based. I mean, this is more. I don't think this is not the actual construction or the players. But catcher.
Yeah, no. This is players, not a lineup. Even though they call it lineup, and this is assuming we do not win the Ohtani trade.
Right, and assuming that the Angelos brothers stay cheap and don't sign any free agents over the next three years.
right. And when we say the projected lineup for the Baltimore Orioles, we are assuming that they don't move to Nashville.
Yes, yeah, or it'd be the Nashville Orioles, unless they choose to change their name or change their mascot to the Nashville, I don't know, Bandits or whatever.
Sound?
Honky Tonks?
Is that the minor league team?
Oh, Sound. Okay. No catcher, Adley Rutschman, which makes sense. First base, Ryan Mountcastle. Somehow he survived the 2026 lineup.
Good for him. That was one of the surprises to me for the lineup. Yeah, is that Ryan Mountcastle was still there.
Second base, Jordan Westberg. I was going to go with Richie Martin, so good for Jordan Westberg. Third base, Gunnar Henderson. Shortstop, Jackson Holliday.
Yep.
Who in 2026 will be 22 years old. Left field, Cedric Mullins.
He gets the old man treatment. You can't handle center field anymore. Let's shift you over in the left field.
Yep. Center field, Kyle.
Adam Jones didn't handle that well. Hopefully, Cedric can handle it a little better.
Yep. Center field, Colton Cowser. Right field, Kyle Stowers. That one, I'll just say, you know, you got to get that one past Hyde first, because Hyder does not want to play Kyle Stowers. So I don't know how he's going to start Kyle Stowers.
I think the goal is four more seasons.
Four more seasons, maybe he'll earn some playing time. Also, shots fired at Ryan McKenna for not being in this lineup. Designated hitter, Kobe Mayo.
Yeah, why is Kobe Mayo the DH?
Well,
can you explain that to me?
Well, he should be the third baseman in his only position, but Are you gonna bench Gunnar Henderson or put Gunnar Henderson as DH?
Okay, so you're just saying we're too crowded. So really, hey Mayo, you might want to learn first base.
Yeah, I mean,
go after Ryan
or a right field. Take Kyle Stowers' spot. I think that's possible.
right. Because manager Hyde doesn't like Stowers. Yeah. You can get that right field.
Pitching, Grayson Rodriguez as your ace. John Means. They have John Means still kicking around 2026. That'll be nice to see.
They do.
D.L. Hall as a number three starter. Yep. I'd like for that to happen. Kyle Bradish and then D. Kramer.
Yeah. You know what I find weird about this 2026 lineup?
It's all weird. What?
Well, yeah, it's all weird. But the fact of like being like, all right, guys, if this, so you look at this lineup and you say, oh, that's an outstanding lineup. I'll take that rotation. Yeah. Why would I sign anyone this offseason? Just hold up till 2026. It's all our own players.
Yeah, exactly.
Like this, that's the argument people will make to say don't do anything instead of saying, look at all these trade prospects we have.
Yeah. Or like
instead,
like you can have even better players. Like you can add depth in case injuries happens, like, or in case a player doesn't work out.
I like Ryan Mountcastle. I don't know if a 29-year-old Ryan Mountcastle is going to be the best first baseman we can get on this team.
Yeah. And that's true for these pitchers too.
Right. I mean, somehow we're running Austin Hayes out of here.
Yeah. So Josh, for best tools. They have a list of best tools, like best hitter for average, power hitter, strikeout fastest, athlete, best fastball, all these things. Mm-hmm. Which ones, if any, kind of surprise you the most on this list?
The strike zone discipline of Jackson Holliday.
Yeah.
Because, again, we've seen nothing from this guy.
Are you drawing that from his high school games? He was really good. Right,
exactly. I want to see Jackson Holliday against real pitching before I say he's got good strike zone discipline. Because I know Adley's got good strike zone discipline. Gunnar, I thought, had good strike zone discipline. Don't tell me that Jackson Holliday, the high school kid, has the best strike zone discipline in this.
That's a little bit hard to believe. I don't know if that's like saying that no one on this team has good strike zone discipline. So we'll just put a guy who's straight out of high school.
We'll put the kid. Right.
But I mean, that's also something I feel like that's really high praise because I assume, you know, I mean, this is a legit website, Baseball America, who does their homework. So, yeah. I mean, I assume that they really think he has great strike zone discipline, which I think is great because that's one of the things that becomes pretty hard to teach. Just ask Ryan Mountcastle. It's just a hard thing to teach. So that he already has that is kind of one less thing to worry about. So that's great.
Yeah. You know, the other interesting thing from that lineup real quick, I was just looking it up, is this is the 2026 lineup. John Means is a free agent in 2024, and Cedric Mullins a free agent in 2025. Right. So we've extended those guys. Yeah, we've re-signed them and convinced them to stay in Baltimore. Yeah. So, what surprised you in this best tools category?
There's a couple that surprised me. The one that surprised me the most was best power hitter.
Yeah, I didn't because. That's one where I said I saw that and I said, "Hey, maybe someone needed to tell Manager Hyde."
Yeah, because Kyle Stowers is listed as the best power hitter, and I don't know who I would like. The guy that comes immediately to mind is Kobe Mayo, as kind of the best just power hitting tool is Kobe Mayo. But then Connor Norby and Jordan Westbrook had a ton of home runs last year.
But you also still have Adley and Gunnar.
Not Adley, Josh, but Gunnar.
All on this line. Well, Adley's not a power.
But Adley's not on this list.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's not a prospect anymore.
He's just projected lineup, not a prospect. Yeah. Got it.
All right. The best tools are the prospects. Yeah.
Right. Got it. You're right. So Gunnar would fall under here.
Right. The other one that was just a little surprising is, and I don't know, I haven't seen him play a lot. I saw him play a few times with Bowie. But Jordan Westberg, for some reason, I wouldn't think about him as being the best athlete in the Orioles system. But they listed as the best athlete.
But careful. Isn't that what people used to say about what's his name over at second base?
Who's that?
I'm blanking.
Not Odor.
No. Back a few years.
Jerry Harrison Jr.? No,
Flaherty.
Not that far.
Flaherty.
All right, Flaherty.
Flaherty.
because he could play multiple positions.
Ryan Flaherty was the best athlete because he could play all the positions.
Yeah, I mean, they have Luis Valdez as the fastest runner, and that is like not surprising at all because I think he had like 50 stolen bases last year.
Right.
But, you know, so I think someone like that with like, I would think like a center fielder with super speed as like the best athlete, but they had Jordan Westbrook. So I guess good on him.
Yeah. They got DL Hall kind of a notch above Grayson Rodriguez, it seems, as far as the best stuff. And we've seen that's kind of falls in line with what we've seen before is the difference is DL Hall has less control than Grayson Rodriguez has had.
Yeah, but that's pretty high praise, right? To say that the best fastball and curveball in the system is DL Hall when you know Grayson Rodriguez has a great fastball. But to say DL Hall is better, but you're right. Grayson Rodriguez is the guy with best control. And I mean, pitching wise, I don't know if this is concerning. I don't want, you know, on the verge to get mad at me if I say the cupboard's bare with pitching, but all the best pitching stuff is just two guys.
Yeah, they are the crap there. Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Yeah. And I love that the best defensive catcher's name is Silas. I'm a fan of that. He came in out of last year's draft. But yeah. And also best outfield arm is Kyle Stowers, according to this list. So best outfield arm and best power hitter can't find his way in the lineup. So I do hope this year. And they were talking. I was listening to Rocco Bacco had a thing, a video. I guess he does that now, a video on Twitter talking about what the Orioles will do. And he said the Orioles are actively looking for a left-handed hitting corner outfielder. And the whole time I'm thinking, that guy's name is Kyle Stowers. He's already on the roster.
Well, he's a power hitter.
Yes, and he's left-handed. And he plays the corner outfield positions. He's on the roster. So I hope Kyle Stowers gets a legit shot this year to play in some games. But we'll see.
Yeah, that is funny. But it's... It also shows you, when we talk about the cupboard being bare with pitching, it tells you that's why that's such an important position for the Orioles to go after this offseason.
Right, because, I mean...
It's a long-term move. It's not a one-season move.
Yeah. Yeah, and listen, we had some guys who had some outstanding performances this year. Tyler Wells was really good. Dean Kramer was great. Austin Voth was really good. But none of those guys have consistent track records of being really good year in and year out. And then we have a completely unproven, the major level, Grayson Rodriguez, who we think will be great, but like he's never done before. And then we have a DL Hall, a guy who's kind of sporadic. Doesn't know if we can figure out the control thing. If he figures out the control thing, he'll be great. He'll be right up there with Grayson Rodriguez if he can figure out the control. But he hasn't done it yet. And then you also have a guy like Kyle Bradish, who one week looks like the best pitcher in baseball, no hitting the Astros, that the you know, a few games later, he can't get an out. So, I mean, we lack consistency with the rotation and lack stability too, right? Where we know these guys can pitch in big games. And so right. I think, I mean, that's why you don't want another, I mean, I'm okay if you bring back a Jordan Lyles, but that can't be the only move because like we already have those guys. What we need is someone who can count on to be kind of that top rotation arm, consistent track record. You know he's going to be good. You know you can slide him in there against kind of these other aces that you go up against from week to week. So yeah, I think that is, you know, the more I think about it, if there's one thing the Orioles need to do this offseason is get that pitcher, get that starter, and then hopefully also get a hitter. But a hitter that can also allow Kyle Stowers to play in some baseball games would be ideal.
Yeah, we'll see. Are you excited at all as far as the World Baseball Classic being this year?
Oh, no, I haven't really even thought about it at all.
Come on, it's the World Cup now. Yeah. Aren't you all excited? Go USA, and now we get to roll right into the World Baseball Classic.
Did you watch any of the Wales-US soccer match?
You mean football?
Football.
No.
Okay.
No, I did not.
I didn't even know it was happening until after it happened.
I don't.
To be honest.
I think I didn't know it was happening except for.
I might have turned it on if I was around.
Except for the soccer team changing their logo, and then the Qatar banning all beer when Budweiser is the top story. So I is the top sponsor.
Oh, I didn't know that was the
thing. So I think I know more about the politics of the World Cup than the actual World Cup and what's going on.
Oh, yeah. So no, I mean, I watched the World Baseball Classic. I don't even know what the teams look like, who's playing. I assume Dean Kramer will be over there representing the Team Israel, I assume.
Yeah.
I don't know who else gets chosen to play in those games, right? I don't know. But
Is it Mullins? Mullins is playing for
USA. Oh, yeah, they made that announcement. He's playing for USA. That's right. So, yeah, I mean, I'm going to watch. But I'm not going to center my life around it either. But that's not till March, right? That's like spring training time.
Yeah, I think it cuts into spring training, which annoys me as like an Orioles fan that wants my team to focus on the Orioles. But I get that it's good for baseball.
Yeah, and especially with veterans. Cedric Mullins doesn't really matter if he's there for spring training or not. In fact, him not being there gives more time for Colton Cowser and Kyle Stowers to play. So it might be a good thing. And our new free agent signing, whoever that is.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. Hey, Josh, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
This is going down the rabbit trail a little bit.
All right.
But just throw this out there because it's happened to me. And I want to know, do you know all your kids' birthdays?
Yes.
Even Owen?
Yeah.
You know all their birthdays?
December 29th, 2013.
Okay. And you could go through your other kids and just list them off.
Yeah. Emma's March 8th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, in my defense,
Brooke is July 11th and Camden is June 2nd.
Okay. In my defense, you've had more birthdays. Do this. My Flora.
Which kid did you forget?
Flora, she had an ear infection. And you know.
Your youngest.
Yeah, my youngest. She's only 9 months old. She hasn't had her birthday yet. How am I supposed to remember? She hasn't had a birthday yet to mark it on the calendar. But she had an ear infection. And so Emily asked me to go to the Kroger to pick it up. And they asked for, what's the birthday? And I gave them my birthday. I said, no, not your birthday. Who's the prescription for? What's her birthday? And it was, what's Flora's birthday? And this is embarrassing because I'm clearly the father. I can't admit that I don't know the birthday. So do you know what I did?
Yeah, you texted your wife.
Well, first I went on Facebook. I tried to find
Facebook memories. Like you tried to look for a post?
Yeah, a Facebook post. And I found one actually.
But that's not going to give you the exact day.
No, it doesn't, Josh. So I said the 25th. And they're like, no, that's not it. January 25th.
And then you're like,
and I said January 24th. They said, no, that's it. And then I said January 26th. And they said, no, that's it. And it was at that moment, on the third guess that I got wrong, where the lady was just looking at me in total disgust, that I said, just hold a minute. Hold on a minute. And I texted Emily the birthday. And then she responded.
I can't believe they let you say it. Guessed five or six guesses.
Yeah. That it happened to me twice. Also, this is embarrassing. We were at a thing called a little Monkey Joe's, a play area up here. And you wear a wristband. So they know when you're leaving that
a trampoline park type thing.
Yeah. And my daughter took off her wristband. This is a different daughter.
She's crazy.
Yeah. And it was bothering her, And then when they were leaving, they're like, well, where's her wristband? I was like, well, she just took it off. And I was like, well, what's her birthday? And I was like, you got me on the spot here, guys. I'm not sure. And they said, can you at least tell the year she was born? It's like she's
how's that like?
I think she's three. And you do the math for me. What does that make? 2019, I think.
You can guess the year, but the fact that she's hanging on you saying "daddy" isn't good enough.
It was just funny.
I had a.
But I should learn my kids' birth. I know them now. I've memorized them. I know them. I shouldn't share this, but I put like the login to my computer. It's my son's birthday. Like I'm doing these things to force me to like memorize these birthdays.
You got to get like tattoos on like your inner wrist.
Maybe as a sign of like love, but really it's just there so I can get out of Monkey Joe's without being harassed.
Right.
And pick up
prescription. I had a little doctor run in this week as well.
Okay. Because with doctor talk on the podcast. I love it.
On doctor talk. Yeah. Because I haven't shared with you yet that Thursday night or Friday morning, whatever you call it, like 3 a.m. I woke up thinking I was dying.
Oh, no.
I woke up thinking I was having a heart attack. And my I couldn't breathe. My chest is pounding. My blood pressure was through the roof.
I was going to say kidney stones or something, but this is not it.
No, no, this is something I've never experienced before. It wasn't, it was like this stabbing pain to the point that I took Advil and I passed out.
Was your first thought when you thought you had a heart attack, like, I'm never going to get to see an Orioles World Series? I think that would be my first thought.
It's interesting. Many thoughts go through your head when you're laying there thinking you're dying. Yeah. So then the next morning, I go to urgent care. And urgent care doesn't open until 9, which is ridiculous because it's urgent care. It should be open 24 hours. But they didn't open until 9.
It's only urgent if it's at least 9 in the morning.
Right.
If it's 8 a.m., it's not urgent.
So I did a virtual visit with my doctor at 8:15, yeah. And my doctor wasn't available, so I got some substitute doctor. And he didn't think it was that big of a deal. He's like, I'll just rest, whatever. Yeah.
COVID, rest.
But no, I still felt like I was dying. So I went to urgent care, and the urgent care guy checks me out, and I'm like, I don't know. He goes, and he says to me, well, you might be having a heart attack. And he said, so you need to go to the emergency room.
Okay, so one guy says not a big deal. One guy says heart attack. Okay.
Right. So then I don't want to go to the emergency room. Like, so I said, it's going to cost money. It's a lot of money. And the other guy didn't think it was a big deal. And the guy looks at me square in the face. I've never had a doctor this serious to me where he's like, I'm telling you, you need to go to the emergency room. And he said, but I understand you not wanting to go. So he's like, here, I'm going to give you this antibiotic and this steroid. In 1 hour, if you are feeling the exact same or worse, you must go to the emergency room. So I went home. I took the medicine. I went home. I fell asleep.
Right.
I woke up a couple hours later. I was feeling just slightly better.
Yeah.
A little bit better. Yeah. So I said, all right, good. No heart attack. I don't need to go to the emergency room. He then told me that I need to sleep the entire weekend.
There could be an argument made about the wretchedness of our health system that this conversation is even happening, but yeah. I'll see that for another day. Well, I want to get my Twitter people back on my side by talking about the situation of our health system. But okay, go ahead.
Right. When the whole reason I'm not going, when the doctors tell me to go to the emergency room, but I'm not because I don't want to spend $10,000.
Exactly. There's a problem.
Yes. Yes, that's why I was curled up in pain, not being able to breathe, but I was trying to delay the emergency room. Yeah. Thankfully, I kept taking the medicine, and I have one more day of the medicines, and like the pain finally stopped on Sunday, and it was horrible, but it was not a heart attack.
So what was it?
It was apparently
heartburn? What are you doing here?
No, apparently it was stress-induced inflammation on my lungs and like chest cavity. Hmm. Something they said it's because of stress.
You dealing with high stress right now?
Yeah, work's extremely stressful. I can't go into details on the podcast, but work has been extremely stressful.
Is this about that
the past couple months?
Did he offer to give you 100 Taylor Swift tickets, and you're already paid for the Taylor Swift tickets, and you're waiting for him to deliver them? Is that the situation again?
That's season two of my friend that scammed me update. Yeah. Guys, I got a PlayStation update. I said it'd be all okay without the PlayStations if we got the Taylor Swift tickets.
That's right.
No, this friend was, you do know. But anyway, it's all good. I'm all good.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad you didn't actually have a heart attack. I assume you did it because this is the first time.
I've never had a doctor give me steroids. And I've been taking them, and it clears me up, and I feel great.
Okay.
And, of course, I finally get to take steroids, and softball's canceled this week for Thanksgiving.
Well, it's probably better off because you probably have one game, and then you'd be tested in the next game after you hit a couple
exactly.
of games. Then you're screwed.
Right. So.
All right. Well, I'm glad you didn't have a heart attack.
No, my weekend was a lot of sleeping.
Yeah.
And
we'll see. I would imagine I've been getting a little stressed lately, and I got a little eye twitch thing happening. You ever did the eye twitch?
I've been there. I've been at the eye twitch.
I'm at the eye twitch level now. So I'm not at the whatever you said where your lungs collapse.
I've never been into the heart attack stage. Yeah, I've never been there.
Yeah. But like when like you tell yourself, like you notice your eye twitch, you're like, just chill out. But like that just makes it just twitch more. Like it's hard to tell yourself to not be stressed about something. It's just kind
no,
of
no. If it's like if you have an anxiety or panic attack, you and you're telling yourself, "Hey, it's no big deal," and it just makes things worse
because you're thinking about it more, and then it just makes it worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, what would ease your stress, Josh, is some baseball or some. I bet a Jacob DeGrom signing would ease that stress.
Of course, it would.
Well, Mike Elias saved this man's life by signing Jake DeGrom.
Yeah. Selling some more Birdland shirts would help as well.
Oh, there you go. You can save a life too, Birdland.
I had some people buy some Christmas ornaments this week while I was. It was nice this weekend. Like I said, I'd be sleeping constantly.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was sleeping in the car, but I'd wake up and check my phone, and it'd be like, oh, another. Yeah, well, different story. We'll get to that another day.
I have a lot of questions here.
Wife had a big show up in Georgia, so we had to go to Georgia. But she didn't want to leave me behind because everyone thought I was dying.
Okay.
So I got dragged. So I went along, and I just slept outside the car, outside the venue.
All right.
Because if I got to sleep, who cares where?
Yeah. No, I agree. But newly married, and now you're sleeping in cars. We'll get to all this when I come down for Thanksgiving. Yeah. I think we'll
sleep in cars during the day and bed at night.
Okay.
But yeah, it was cool to wake up and see like some Christmas shirts sell and some other things, because there's still lots of stuff on there to get great Christmas gifts over at birdlandsports.com.
Yeah. So look at that. Joshua's mid heart attack, woke up, got a little joy in his life from seeing that you bought an ornament and then passed back out. So
now next time we'll go, you know, if you really want to talk about my t-shirt stores, we'll talk the political side of my t-shirt stores.
And is there a political side?
Some of that another time. Okay. Well, I launched another shirt brand that's Christian shirts.
Yeah, but that's not political.
I didn't think it was political either. But let's just say, like, I launch a Facebook page and Facebook suspends it.
Oh.
And I launch an Etsy page. Etsy suspends it. I say, all right, I'm going to get a Facebook ad. And they say, you can't do ads. And it's the exact same stuff as all my Birdland stuff, except that Birdland, I rip off the Orioles logos. On this,
you rip off Jesus' logos, and they won't allow that.
On Christian sites, it's all custom artwork that I came up with myself, but it has Bible verses in it. And every website bans it. I can't figure it out.
I bet if they were satanic verses, you would be allowed to post them.
I don't know. It's driving me crazy. But Birdland Sports is up and running, 20% off all this week. Go check that out.
All right, boys and girls, thanks for listening to another. Oh, and I also wanted to throw this out real quick at the end. I just finished this. Josh, you need to read these books. You get Owen to read these books. I'm reading with Silas. This one's called The Atlanta Alibi. There's mysteries that take place in every ballpark across baseball. So next we're going to read the one about Camden Yards. This one's about Atlanta. So it takes place in Truist Park. Someone stole Hank Aaron's ball and bat from their little statue area.
Please say the mystery in Camden Yards is the power went out.
I don't know. It's called the Baltimore Bandit. They're real big into the alliterations. But I hope they have the library tomorrow, because we just finished that book and we're going to get another one.
All right. That's awesome. I definitely want to check that out for Owen.
Yeah. It's a little bit above Fast level, but they're still good.
That's great. Owen's a little older. So that would be good.
All right. So that's our book talk for the week.
All right.
All right, boys and girls. All right. Yeah, go ahead. Here we go.
No, I was just going to say, have a good Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm coming down to you, Josh. Driving to you tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'll be hanging out with you and the parents Thanksgiving. I don't know how everyone's going to fit around the Thanksgiving table. It's not our problem.
Not my problem.
I don't know how they're going to cook everything in a little tiny kitchen. Not my problem.
We could host it in our house.
Yeah.
But maybe next year.
Yeah. You could host it in my house. Maybe next year.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Gigi and Pop-Up run things around this place. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me.
Wrap it up before we start going off topic about Gigi and Pop-Up.
Follow me on Twitter while Twitter still exists, right? At Section336. You can follow Josh on Twitter.
At Josh Troca.
Thanks for listening, boys and girls. And as always, go O's. And go Ravens.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.